Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Flash number 166, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella, edited by Julia Schwartz, featuring The Last Stand of the Three-Time Losers, written by John Broom, art by Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella, and Tempting Target for the Temperature Twins, written by Gardner Fox, art by Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go-go! Flash happens upon a robbery pulled by five crooks, all of whom have been to jail multiple times. Flash is about to defeat the gang when suddenly a strong compulsion to run and tell Iris his secret identity overwhelms him. Then, the Flash injures his ankle while rescuing people from a burning building. He is forced to use crutches and fears that his secret identity will be exposed. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
That's what it takes, so up and toe, cold and hot, that's what it takes, but it takes a lot, now give me hot, now cold, hot and cold, man, I'm sold, now give me a little bit of that rock and roll, go.
Look who's hobbling our way, it's me.
And me too.
You're hobbling.
Yes,
you're back still?
Oh my God, you don't even know.
What's happened?
Well, I heard it on Monday morning because I went for a quick exercise.
Uh-huh.
As I like to call it. I don't call it running. It was jogging. And I came home and I, of course, had to go to work. So I was trying to, you know, stretch and whatnot. And I think I stretched a little too much too quickly.
Ooh.
And I hurt my back on Monday morning. I didn't really feel it at the time, but I felt a little tender. As the day went on, it got a little worse. Well, I'm a mess. It's Wednesday now.
Mm-hmm.
My body shifting my weight away from my hips, so I'm all walkety-weirdity.
You need to go to the chiropractor.
Well, I'm going to be there tomorrow morning, but don't you know, I'm just in so much pain every time I stand up, I'm just a mess.
Well, you could practically write a book about what happened to me today.
Tell me.
Well, as you know, we live very near to the C&O Canal Towpath National Park, which is a lovely,
beautiful,
mixed-use, hard-packed dirt trail, which stretches 75 gravel. Miles.
Gravel.
No, it's, well, parts of it are gravel.
Yeah.
Stretches 75 miles from Washington, D.C. to Cumberland, Maryland, and then it joins up with another trail from Cumberland to Pittsburgh, so you can go the whole 150 miles if you want to.
If one wanted to.
Well, I wasn't going that far, but I was going 2.5 miles on my bicycle, and then I walked back 2.5 miles to my car because my bicycle tire punctured.
What'd you puncture it on?
I don't know. I think it was a curse. Because I dropped my water bottle, so I stopped to get that, and just as I was stopped, a bicycle rider, one of those fast ones, you know, came riding the other way, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes," and then I got on my bike and started riding, and not 20 seconds later, my tire just exploded.
Oh, no. Like, you heard it pop?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It went pop, ka-kunk, 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 ka-kunk.
Oh, no.
So I'm pretty sure it was a curse.
Okay, from the person?
From a rival, rival bicyclist, yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, they're so jealous of me because I'm...
Fast.
No, the opposite.
Oh.
Slow, and I have those big fat tires.
Okay, and they're jealous of you.
Yeah.
because they have the little skinny tires, which forces them to go fast, and they have to clamp their feet into their pedals and whatnot.
Okay, yeah.
They wish
yeah.
they could just take a leisurely pace like me.
Oh, okay, okay, I understand you.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. So, of course, I got your text.
Yes.
Just as I was lying down, and at I think it was like 4:47 or something like that, or 5:47, yes. I don't know what it was. Well, anyway, you and I sat there and I stared at my thought. I sent you a text and said, do you need me to come pick you up? And I was just looking at it and looking at it. And then you wrote back, like, no, no, I've got to walk. And
the closest there's no place.
Come pick me up is where my car is parked.
Well, that joke's on me because I thought about going the other way where I would have had road nearby the whole way. But no, I had to go into the wilderness.
Oh, it's okay.
Like a fool.
Well, no, no. How often does that happen that you pop the tire on a ride? Like twice.
It's happened several times, yes. Oh,
okay. So anyway, I told you, well, you just be safe, and I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I took a nap, didn't I?
You know what I should have done?
What?
I was probably like a half mile from Taylor's Landing. I should have just walked to Taylor's Landing.
Yes.
And had you come there.
Well, where would we put your car? Or your bicycle?
In the trunk. Take it back to my car.
We've never put the car, the bicycle in the back of the Ford Explorer. We don't even know if it'll
fit. I've put the bicycle in the back of the Prius, so I'm sure it'll fit.
Oh, you have?
Yes, Lord.
Oh. You put it in the back of the Prius blowabout?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Sure. I think I had to take the front tire off.
Yeah.
To do that. Anyway, Flash, number 166. Look who's hobbling our way. It's the Flash on crutches and his foot's all wrapped up in a cast.
Oh, I know exactly how he feels.
Same.
I had that surgery on my foot a couple years ago. The same. You know, I like to go and go and go, but I had to hobble around on those crutches, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. At least he can hobble around at super speed. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Cold and the Heatwave are the coolest, hottest team of villains in comics.
Right.
I don't like this pairing. I feel like it's shoehorned just because they have temperature powers.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid. It's all really stupid. And didn't, I was reading this and I was thinking about the DC Flash television series.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't they have a cold and a hot, like a Captain Cold? Wasn't it like a girl and a boy?
Well, there is Caitlin Snow, who was Killer Frost.
Okay.
I didn't watch Flash long enough to know if Captain Cold and Heatwave were on there, but... Oh, the Captain Cold was, I think. Anyway, they were on Legends of the DC Universe. They were on the time ship with Rip Hunter.
You tried to get me to watch it.
I watched it until it just got not good. Same with Supergirl.
What, episode 2?
Oh, no, like probably season 2.
Oh my God, it was awful. It was like watching a telenovela in English with superhero costumes.
Yes. It's ridiculous. And then I loved Supergirl first season or so.
Mm.
And the only show that held up the whole time is Black Lightning. And they won't even release it on Blu-ray.
I loved that show.
Same girl, so same.
Much.
Once you marry it, if you love it so much.
It was so good.
I know.
Oh, we watched every single episode. And they won't release it.
No. And there's that Superman Lois show with the teen boys.
Who cares? All right, let's go back to the comic.
Okay. Each of the crooks pictured below had 3 convictions on his record. One more would put them in prison for life. That explains their desperation, Rob. Their fury to avoid capture. But it doesn't explain the fantastic, extraordinary thing that occurred each time the Flash tangled with them. That incredible event can only be understood by reading...
The Last Stand of the Three-Time Losers.
I find it intriguing that we do have... bylines up here at the top. Story by John Broom and art by Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella. Of course, anyone would open this up and see it and know that's Carmine Infantino. But it's not common practice yet to list the creators' names up here at the top.
Oh.
I don't think.
Oh, how very forward-thinking.
I'll say.
Shall we go for it?
Yes.
As newlywed Barry Allen tries to call his wife at their new home.
Ring, 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 ring.
No answer. Ring, Iris
ring,
isn't there yet.
Ring, ring.
I guess she must be working.
Ring,
late.
Ring, ring, ring.
I know what I'll do.
Ring, ring.
I'll stop by at her office and pick up Mrs. Allen on my way home.
Ring,
That's what it used to be like, folks. Oh, yeah. Wait. I think all of our listeners actually know what this is like.
Most, I would say. Yeah. Certainly.
The phones used to ring until we got answering machines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you miss a landline?
No. What are you talking about?
Oh, just being able to pick up a phone and carry it over and set the receiver down on the table and light a cigarette and pick up a cocktail and sit down there and hold the receiver up to your ear and talk to your friends.
I can do that anyway, and I don't even have to hold the receiver in my hand. I can have a cigarette in one hand and a cocktail in the other. I'll lay the phone on the table. And I can also know who's calling me, so I can answer or not as I see fit, which is not the case with telephones, landline telephones, too. You got the machines with caller ID. That was a godsend.
When telephone solicitors call you, what do you say now? If you're not interested, what do you say?
I don't pick up. If I don't know the number, if it doesn't come up a name, I don't answer.
Well, sometimes the numbers come up, and I don't know that they're telephone solicitors. It'll say, like, a number from Jacksonville or whatever, and I'll call, and it's always the freaking policeman's whatever.
Why are you answering? If it's important, don't leave a message.
They talk and talk and talk. I say, no, thank you very much. No, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you very much. And then I hang up the phone. Mm-hmm. I just say that. Like, I just cut them off. But, I want to say, keep on asking other people. Anyway. Go ahead.
It's the end of a long day for the young police scientist. The experiment he's been working on is fascinating, but he's got to relax. A little walk across town should do him good, or maybe walk 2.5 miles down the CNO Towpath National Park.
In the calm night air. Sigh. He's married almost a month, and he still can't decide whether or not to tell Iris that he's a Flash. Oh my God. How many stories is this going to be an ongoing problem?
It's going to continue beyond the point where we have go-go check banners at the top.
Because every story includes this thing. I wonder if I'm going to tell Iris that I'm the Flash. Oh no, here comes the adventure.
And then you know what happens when he finally decides to tell her.
She says, I've known all along because you talk in your sleep.
Yes.
Yes.
He sort of promised himself that he would tell her the day they got married, but he didn't. Because he's a man. Suddenly, to his astonishment, his ring pops open. The ring, which contains his super compressed Flash costume,
and expands
upon contact with the air.
He says, luckily no one was around to see this, but it would have been a dead giveaway. But what caused the ring to open? Seems to me I felt like something, a faint vibration in my hand.
Coming from this building. There, I feel it again.
Oh my gosh, what an odd thing.
What could be going on in there at this hour of night to cause such a peculiar vibration?
Well, not to keep you in suspense, reader, but behind the facade of concrete, criminal goings-on!
You were right about that silencer-equipped drill, Mole. I can't even hear it.
It's my own invention, Profile.
Anything doing yet, Doc?
I think he just snapped the lock, Chomper. Let Ek-Ek try the door now.
Introducing the sensational character finds of late 1966, one of the most exclusive clubs in Central City, the Three-Time Losers Club. Each crook has one foot in jail and the other on a banana peel. They've got to be careful.
Cigars are Chomper's weakness.
Doc lost so much betting on horses he had to take up crime.
Profile is an expert on stealing girls' hearts or anything else.
Mole's not blind as a mole, just nearly so.
Ek-Ek was a crooked wrestler who gave up wrestling but stayed crooked.
Okay. Well, they all look exactly as their names would suggest.
I like the mole.
Ek-Ek's mighty arms yank on the steel porthole of the safe. By the way, we're inside a bank or something, and there's a giant safe.
And they all comment on how great he is at Ek-Ek.
Yay, go Ek-Ek.
But then Flash bursts in.
Flash, how did he...
Choke, bluff. I almost swallowed my cigar.
This is the blackest day of my life.
Some instinct told that he needed to look in there.
Really, some instinct? You felt a vibration come from a building and your ring popped open and you're a detective and a superhero? I wonder what could have told you to pop into the building, Flash. Zooming in, the Scarlet Speedster inadvertently collides with the backward stumbling bulk of the ex-wrestler Ek-Ek. Uh-oh. He knocks Ek-Ek off balance. No, sorry, Ek-Ek knocks Flash off balance, and now he's about to pin his shoulders to the mat.
But Flash pivots and hits him 15 times in the space of a split second at super speed.
Doesn't do a thing. Mm-mm. No good. Now, why don't he...
Not worth it.
No. Maybe I'll just run in a circle around him. Or just come back later and check on him. Maybe he's like a stegosaurus, that it just takes a minute for the pain to register in his brain. Did you know that?
Oh, is that what they think?
Yeah. Like, you know, the stegosaurus would be being eaten by a tyrannosaurus and not realize it for like 30 seconds. Or maybe I've got that backwards. Maybe it's the tyrannosaurus that would get hit by the stegosaurus tail and not realize it for quite a while.
Wow.
Because their brains are so tiny. Wow. Size of walnuts.
Size of walnuts.
Unless, watched a fascinating video on YouTube today, which must be true because it was on YouTube.
Okay.
The Silurian hypothesis. Have you heard of that?
No, tell me.
Well, it's
just the brainstem extended down the spinal cord?
No. It's just a thought experiment by scientists. Not all scientists, just like specifically two scientists, which posit that if there was an advanced civilization on Earth millions of years ago, say super intelligent dinosaurs that built cities and rocket ships and things, what would be in the geographic record to detect that?
Well, there'd be fossils, right?
Well, not necessarily. No, not necessarily, because they've gone forward in time now and tried to decide what would remain of our own civilization, say 50 million years in the future.
And
everything would be smashed flat, and it would just be like a layer of sediment inside the rock. And you could tell, you know, sort of if things were artificially created, like you could tell certain minerals and things if they had been
made. Alloys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But maybe not, because there are also natural processes that can imitate things like that.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'll say.
Do you mean, did they have like dinosaur blacksmiths and dinosaur computer operators?
Maybe.
And
maybe there's a whole like Flintstones situation going on.
Oh, my God.
In fact, there's an episode of Star Trek Voyager about that, where they find a planet full of intelligent dinosaurs that came from Earth. Remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. So it was on Star Trek Voyager. It must be true.
We live in an amazing time, don't we?
I'll say.
All that, and we still have Donald Trump.
Also, do you know they've only probably found 1% of species of dinosaurs that ever existed?
You don't say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I could talk about dinosaurs all day long. But here we are at the Flash. He's only human. Let's beat him up.
Okay. So we get into a nice little page of action shots.
Yep. The gang is galvanized into a do-or-die effort, but in vain. They can't touch the Flash. He's racing around in circles, and now he's going to form a cushion of air underneath them and toss them into the sky.
See, I'm totally fine with Flash doing this, but it bothers me when he spins his arms.
I know how you feel about his spinning arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is Flash going? Suddenly he starts racing toward the wall.
He has an uncontrollable urge to go see Iris.
Yes. I must go to Iris as Barry Allen, her husband, and tell her that I'm the Flash. I must do it now. I can't delay another instant.
He leaves the criminals and rushes to her office, where she's busy at work in the typing pool.
In the office of Picture News, where the lovely Mrs. Allen is a reporter, thank you.
I know.
And feature writer. Thank goodness they didn't call her a news hen, as per their usual.
Yes.
Listen, Iris, there's something I've got to tell you.
Oh, Barry, what a time to interrupt me. I'm working against a deadline. I'm saying that as if that's something new. I'm working against a deadline. A story from the West Coast just came in from the ticker, and I'm doing a woman's angle just for our Bulldog edition. Just wait a little while, and I'll be with you, okay, honey?
Type. Well, the urge he felt is disappearing. He no longer wants to tell Iris that the Flash and he are one and the same person. And what I want to do, what I should have done instead is of coming here, is capture that gang.
So into the night, the blur of crimson goes.
I'll never forgive myself if I've let them get away. I still can't understand what came over me to act the way I do.
But maybe it's not too late to catch them.
Maybe
he finds
not.
Their car, yep. And what does he do?
Hey, he races around it and lets all the air out of their tires. I know what that's like. That happened to me tonight.
Oh my gosh, it's like your life is just like this comic.
Yes, except I'm not a criminal.
Mm.
The Flash again, they pull out their guns.
Mm-hmm.
They know the bullets can't hurt them, but they've got to do something. So a concentrated attack, a last-ditch stand to avert capture, is countered by a virtuoso performance on the part of the Scarlet Speedster.
Hey, look at the mole shooting him.
Yeah?
I think his voice is like this. We know the bullets can't hurt the Flash, but we got to try something. Oh,
that tracks.
Yeah.
By vibrating all the molecules of his body at super speed frequency, this Flash is making himself, quote, immaterial, unquote. Why the quotes? That's the actual thing he's doing,
yeah. So the fists and the blows just go right through him, and then when he concentrates by slowing down his fist, he hits them. Fists are solid.
Yes.
Body's a blur, the fists are solid. The body's a blur, the fists are solid. Boom, 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 boom.
Wow. As the Sultan of Speed allows his fist to become sufficiently material with precise timing, the melee mounts an intensity. If he, an Ek-Ek, is trying to lay just one hand on the Flash.
But!
Flash becomes immaterial again. So Ek-Ek's blow passes right through him into his pal Chomper, who expels a big cloud of cigar smoke.
And then there's an irresistible urge. The Flash has got to talk to Iris again.
I'm not a detective, but I'm beginning to think this has something to do with cigar smoke.
Let's read on and find out. So, here we are, the last stand of three-time losers, part two.
Mm-hmm.
On the verge of victory, the Grand Vizier of Velocity is gripped once again by the mysterious compulsion that yanks him from the field of battle and sends him rocketing pell-mell across the city.
He must go to Iris at once as Barry Allen and tell her that I'm in the Flash.
Love this panel.
Of him changing?
Yes. That's
fantastic.
Barry, I'm nearly finished with my article. Can't you just wait a few moments more?
But Iris, this is important.
So's my article important. It's a front pager. That's what we use in the business. With a byline. Remember, darling, we agreed it was vital to our marriage for both of us to keep our careers.
I mean, this is very advanced. Because we look at something like the Atom. And Jean Loring won't marry him because she would have to give up her career.
Oh.
And here's Iris working away late at night.
I know, I am putting a rather sexist, kind of cynical spin to my dialogue, but I'm always complaining about how they're being sexist to women. So I'm, please just keep that in mind, listener. I'm just playing around.
They know you.
I'm glad she's got a job.
Unless you're a first-time listener. We hate sexism, first-time listener.
Oh, yeah, totally. But wow, what the hell would we be doing getting a first-time listener by this time?
You never know.
Oh, well, if you are a first-time listener, welcome. It's always this much fun.
I hope you like gay people. Anyway, that feeling is disappearing or again.
The gay people, as my friend said to us last weekend. Describing my 84-year-old friend Republican politician who was famously outspoken and spent his whole career talking about passing legislation against the gays and was discovered to have died in a bathroom in Florida. And one of his fellow reporters at the paper was the gay, as he described to me. And the gay reporter said to him, I know where this bathroom is in Florida. Oh, that's a famous gay cruising spot. This politician died in a gay cruising spot. And they did their investigation and they published the story against the politician. And boy, did they receive a bunch of criticism for it and lots of flack over it. But it was all true. Well, they exposed that Republican for the hooligan and the two-faced liar that he was. What I took away from it, however, was that instead of saying that the Republican was gay, my friend said, and he said, I don't mean to offend you by this story, but I got to tell you this. I want you to know what we did. Because I asked him about his days in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was the gay. And I was like, I didn't stop him. I was like, oh my God, please remember that he said he was the gay. I've got to tell Bob. That was great.
Iris would never do anything like that. What? Why are you? Your mouth is agape.
I didn't tell you yet about the woman on the phone today from Aer Lingus.
Go on.
So, listener, If you're a longtime listener, you know that 2 years ago we went to Ireland.
Yes.
And you know that at the time we had arranged in our trip to go to the home of a very, very well-known luthier who makes guitars for people, for artists all over the world. Well, wouldn't you know, when I came home, I put down a deposit and told and helped craft my guitar, my new classical guitar. And 2 years later, here we are. It's going to be ready for us to pick up. And you and I are making a special trip to Ireland to go pick up my guitar.
Just a long weekend, you know, like you
do. It's a long weekend. Boy, we're going to be so tired when we come back because we're not going to be over there very long. So we're flying over like on, you know, like a Thursday night. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly back on Monday, picking up the guitar, going to do a little bit of sightseeing around Dublin, right? Well, we had to purchase a ticket for the guitar on the way back. And the way you do it is you put your name in. Actually, you put your first name in as the guitar and this last name in. So we bought our tickets, and then we had to do a separate transaction and buy another ticket for the guitar. So you advised me, make sure you call them today. Well, I did, and it's a number, it's a local number, and they have an agent here in the United States who handles, you know, all these sort of difficult sort of things. So I call her today, right? Well, I swear to God, she must have been from Long Island because she was on the phone with me today. She goes, oh, okay, so what's your confirmation number for your round trip? There it is. She goes, okay, great. Now, what's your confirmation number for the guitar? And I told her what. She goes, okay. Oh, I see what you're doing. Yes, you did everything perfectly. Your guitar is sitting right next to you on the plane on the way back. Let me just clickety-clickety-clickety. I'm linking these two confirmation numbers so that everything is together, so that when you check in, you've got the guitar with you, both of the itineraries for the instrument, and you are all together. She goes, you know what? I had the same thing happen to me. My daughter was getting married over in Puglia. Over in Italy. So we fly over to Italy, and what I didn't realize was that we flew over to this major airport, and then we had to take a small flight. Well, you know, I was able to bring the wedding dress on with me for my daughter. So we bring the wedding dress on, but then when I had to take the smaller flight, from one, they wanted me to check the dress over to the airport. Oh, you know, I had carried that dress with me on the airplane. I wasn't about to check this dress, because I knew, I said, this... Let me tell you, this will be the one that you'll lose, my daughter's wedding dress. So she said, I begged them, and they wouldn't let me do it. But then I said, I work for Aer Lingus. I know it's a competitor. They went ahead and let me carry the dress on. I was so excited. So I understand how important this guitar is to you. So we had a little laugh together. She says, now you go and you get that guitar. You just enjoy it for the rest of your life.
God love her.
That was the woman I talked to from Aer Lingus, the Irish airline.
Well, Iris is back at work. Barry's feeling has gone away. And he's got to get back to that gang. But something just occurred to him. Something that might explain the extraordinary urges that have suddenly gripped me.
Gripped!
The experiment I was working on back at the laboratory on the first page of the story has been to develop a new truth serum.
Right.
I've been trying it out on myself without result, I thought. But now it seems it did work. It must have been what sent me to Iris to tell her the truth. But why did it have such a delayed reaction? I've got to figure that out. Barry, I've already figured it out.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
It's the cigar smoke.
Right. Well, in fairness, you did read the story.
Amazing, he discovers. Mm-hmm. What he's discovered, after I told him, is that the truth serum in him was triggered into activity by the nicotine, the cloud of cigar smoke blown in his face by that crook called Chomper. Each time that happened, I had to go and tell Iris the truth. Now, I'm taking an antidote to counteract the effects of the serum. Now I should be able to deal with that gang without getting sidetracked by any inner urges. But how do I catch up to the crooks this time?
Well, isn't he clever? Soon, the monarch of motion is back on the job. He's crouching down where he'd stopped the car, and he says, now, in police work, I've learned that each car exhaust is unique. Bullshit! Okay, whatever, okay. Like fingerprints. Bullshit! Okay, so here's the place where I stopped the gang's car, and the exhaust made a slight stain in the road. By vibrating myself at super speed, I could attain the same wave frequency as the exhaust so that it becomes visible to me. Now, by following the faint trail caused by the exhaust molecules lingering in the air, I should be able to track that car down. Doesn't the Flash sound gay when he tells the story in my voice?
Yes. To be clear, listener, Flash was not saying bullshit. That was editorial commentary by Dr. Husband. Also, he's a police scientist who moves at super speed. Did he not think to jot down the license plate number when he was racing circles around that car earlier? Well, they didn't
have computers then. He would have to go search records and stuff.
He's a police scientist. He can remember numbers.
In the gang's hideout, lights are also burning late as the burning question is on the floor for discussion. I'll do the mole's voice.
It beats me. We got rid of Flash twice in a row.
But how, Chomper?
Ick, ick.
We got, what we got to do is figure out exactly what happened.
Good idea. We'll reconstruct the crime, as the saying goes. That's the handsome one.
So, and then I touched his headgear.
And I got my hands on his uniform.
Hold on, everything, boys. There's only one action which was repeated exactly in both fights. And that's Chomper blowing cigar smoke in Flash's face.
Couldn't that have sent Flash flying off?
You kidding, Profile? Did you ever get a good whiff of Chomper's cigars?
Be serious, Doc, because it's a serious situation. If Flash finds us again, we gotta be ready for him. Now we only got one clue, and here's my idea. Blah, blah, blah.
So with Chomper's idea in operation, a strange reception committee for the Scarlet Speedster assembles.
Well, now they've all got cigars in their mouths, and they're puffing away, making like chimneys.
And he says, oh, holy smoke, they're all making like chimneys, but fortunately it won't affect me now.
Yes, because he's taken an antidote. Five at a clip. Ek-Ek comes in from behind and grabs him around the waist.
Others would fix my back up just right if you did that
sure
to me.
It sure would.
Right?
The
crack,
others,
crack, crack.
The others move in to start punching, but Flash only needs one arm, which is free, and he can... It's like tetherball. Then, with his ability to dematerialize himself vibration. Flash slips from Ek-Ek's grasp so swiftly that an image of himself is still visible as he turns and strikes. What a strange sensation, punching right through myself.
So at the end of a long super speed moment, Ek-Ek is just standing there stunned.
Yeah, like a dinosaur, he's stunned. Takes a minute for the pain to reach his brain. But when he does, whoo, like an earthquake. I know he'll be all right, Flash says, but I'll bet this floor will never be the same.
And then he does his whirly tornado thing and spins them all around to exhaust them before he takes them to jail.
That should take the fight out of him after this jail is going to seem like a picnic.
Later on, with the three losers behind bars for the fourth and final time. So, it was about the truth serum you kept popping into my office?
Yes, Iris, and I've just given you a dose. If it really works, you won't be able to lie to me, but I want you to try to lie. Understand, little lady? Now, here's the question. Are you married to Barry Allen? Yes or no?
Barry Allen? Never heard of him. Does that answer your question, dear?
It sure does, little lady. My serum is a flop, and I had such high hopes for it. Why don't you blow some cigar smoke in her face and see if that does it? I'm pretty sure now that the serum only works on me because of the unique chemical constitution of my body due to super speed. That means it won't work on anyone else. Well, back to the drawing board.
That's optimistic of him, isn't it?
I'll say.
Barry, are you coming to sleep?
Yes, dear, in a moment. I still haven't told her I'm the Flash.
Who cares?
Sigh. I suppose one of these days she'll have to know. I won't be able to keep it secret forever. Or will I?
Well, the good thing is we'll never have to hear him have an inner dialogue of conflict about whether or not he's going to reveal his identity to Iris. Right? Never.
Yeah.
Never.
So we
I
will.
Mean, that would be silly to have that be a theme that occurs in every single story.
Wouldn't it?
Forever in this podcast, right? Because that would be really silly, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Once more, Rob, those desperados of degrees. I love the alliterative names in this issue. Mm-hmm. The desperados of degrees come into Central City with a hot idea for chilling crook tricks. Yes. Captain Cold and Heatwave are back at the old stand, dealing out frostbite and heat prostration at one and the same time. But now they find their nemesis, the Flash, in cold storage because of a red-hot injury, making him a
tempting target for the temperature twins.
Captain Cold, as you may remember, wears a fur coat and has a gun that shoots cold, and Heatwave wears a thermal jumpsuit and has a gun that shoots fire.
Both of which seem very uncomfortable. I would hope that they have some sort of regulating things, temperature things.
I don't
both
know.
Both of them would have need cooling devices.
Yes.
Okay, so as a police lab mobile maneuvers its way through Central City, today is the first monthly anniversary of my marriage to Iris.
Wait, I thought last story was the monthly anniversary. Well, I guess this is the official anniversary.
Today is the first monthly anniversary of my marriage to Iris. That means dining out, the theater, and... its driver is Barry Allen, Flash, a police research scientist now working in the field on cases.
But I'm still undecided whether to tell her I'm the Flash
God!
Or not. To tell or not to tell, that is the...
Who cares?
Uh-oh, the factory's on fire, the Real Cool Refrigeration Company factory. It's real cool to buy cool. Have you heard those commercials for Dulles Glass?
No.
Well, if you listen to WTOP talk radio, they're apparently being paid to do promos for Dulles Glass, whose motto that they've apparently paid a lot of money for people to say is, Dulles Glass, love your glass. That's it.
That's it.
Dulles Glass, love your glass.
So quickly parking the lab mobile, Barry darts into the laboratory-like interior. Excuse me, it's laboratory-like interior, where he says...
I'd better lend a hand as the Flash. There may be people trapped inside that inferno.
His costume zipped snugly over his street clothes. The fastest man alive super speeds into the flaming factory. I didn't realize that he puts that on over his street clothes.
I did realize that, but I didn't realize that there was a zipper anywhere. I guess there would have to be, unless he's just putting it on through the mouth hole.
Wouldn't that be uncomfortable to put a tight-fitting speed costume on over a suit?
I would think so, yes, but don't ask me, because I made the mistake of wearing underwear under my bike shorts once, and yowch!
Yeah.
Oh, Flash, thank heaven.
Relax, I'll get you out of here in no time.
I thought that was Iris when I first saw, but...
Me too.
It's not. He's got to take... There's a man and a woman trapped by the fire. He's got to take both of them out together. He's going to carry the girl, and he instructs the gentleman to wrap his arms around him from behind. And out they go, except the floor collapses.
They fall down, and Flash is drumming his feet to reduce the impact of their fall, carrying them, both the man and the girl's carrying.
But it's throwing his balance off.
And he lands hard on his foot.
Groan.
It really hurts. So then he still keeps him in his arms, but he does a super hop.
Yeah, he can't put his left foot down without pain, but he can still hop faster than anybody else can run.
Into the outer air, he pogos a go-go and into the midst of the Central City smoke eaters.
Great work, Flash. Everybody but these two got out in time.
You saved our lives.
Cameras click as newspaper reporters swarm about the injured superhero.
I'm a doctor off the city ambulance. Let me take a look at that ankle, Flash.
I think I sprained it when I fell.
Yes, I'm a doctor, so let me look at your ankle. Oh, wait, I already said that. Yes, the usual symptoms of a sprain are there. Swelling of the joint, discoloration, what, he lifted up his...
How can he boot? Tell there's... No! He did take the boot off, but he's still completely covered by the leotard. He can't see any discoloration.
And...
An inability...
And underneath that would be his street clothes.
Yes!
That's why I remembered that.
Oh, good catch.
An inability to use the joint. Oh, excuse me, that's the doctor's voice. An inability to use the joint without pain. You'll have to stay off that leg for a few days.
And so, the fastest man on Earth, after refusing offers of a lift home, is provided with crutches.
And the reporter says, what a story! I'll just have time to make the late edition.
Well... This solves my Flash. This solves my Flash identity problem with Iris when she sees the newspapers and sees Barry Allen with the same sprained ankle. There will be no keeping my secret from her or from anyone else, for that matter.
A few blocks away, outside the ultra fashionable House of Gems.
Yes, it's Heatwave and Captain Cold. Fire away, Captain Cold. My blood's burning for a little action.
Oh, do they not get tired of this?
What?
My blood's burning. I'll put the fleas on
you. No, come on.
Oh, my God.
Cool it, Heat Wave. Everett's... How did Captain Cold talk on Super Friends? Like that, right? Cool it, Heat Wave. I'm Captain Cold. Ever since we first teamed up as the Temperature Twins, we've just about had it made.
By bombarding the House of Gyms wall with below zero cold...
And then scorching it with heat, we make it contract and expand. Captain Cold was on Super Friends, right? I'm not imagining that.
I have no idea. I watched the Super Friends, trust me, but I don't remember.
Mm.
Yeah. So in turn, the tricky temperature triggers. Oh, I got that fast.
That was great.
Freeze and sear the brick wall.
We make a terrific... Oh, sorry. We make a terrific team of thermologic twins, CC.
I hope that's a compliment, HW. Watch out. There she goes.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. With a rubble of falling masonry, the building wall collapses.
Stepping
through its dust and debris come the frosty felon and caloric crook.
Don't move, folks. There's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight, so stay loose.
I'll keep you cool as cucumbers.
A gelid blast from the cold gun, and people are pennied in by gigantic icicles.
We can't get out.
This is an outrage.
And when only the bejeweled models remain, frozen with fear.
Be good, Goyles, now, while me and the captain help ourselves with those sparklers you're wearing.
When suddenly, as the temperature twins come to the last model, their figures freeze while their hearts catch fire.
Heatwave, did you just cause a mirage with that hot rod of yours? Ooh.
For real, Captain Cold. Miss Fashion Gem of Central City. Ooh, I want a date with her.
Go off, Heatwave. If this choice morsel of frozen dessert goes out on a date, it'll be with me.
That's a lot of hot air. She's for me.
Why, you hothead? I'll freeze you so cold you'll think an iceberg is a bonfire.
I'll put you on cold storage. And hey, what's got into us? We shouldn't be fighting like this. We're partners. We got a good thing going, Captain Cold. Let's settle this like gentlemen. We'll hold a contest between us.
Cool, man. Whichever wins that contest gets to date Miss Fashion Gem.
And so these partners in plundering pyrotechnics, these deadly desperados who deal in degrees of heat and cold, but who are pushovers for a pretty face, stalk out into the street.
It's Captain Cold and Heatwave.
What gall? The unmitigated gall of those crooks robbing in broad daylight. Somebody call the police.
Nobody interferes with our game of hearts and flowers.
Encircled by tongues of heat, keeping us rooted to the spot.
Oh, it's so hot.
I think actually on the show, I think Heatwave was gay. Maybe Captain Cold too. So... I think they doth protest too much.
And then, as the throng remains helpless, the temperature twins move on, seeking something to match their weapons. When...
Shivering spines, here comes the answer to our problem, the Flash!
Oh, torrid decree days! Whichever one of us puts our arch-nemesis out of action wins the prize!
Caught unawares, unable to move at his customary super speed. Well, we know he can hop at super speed. Why can't he walk on crutches at super speed?
Well, now he has three legs, not two.
I guess the crutches would burn up if they were moving at super speed.
I hadn't thought of that. Yes, they would splinter, wouldn't they?
Well, they should be protected by his super speed aura, as his clothes are, but...
Oh, well, you didn't write this, did you?
No. But Gardner Fox did. He should remember that.
BT Dubs.
Yes.
On the lower right panel of this page... I knew before turning the page exactly what was going to happen.
You did not.
I swear to God I did.
Because of your years of physical therapy?
Yes, I injure easily.
Instead of firing at the Flash, Heatwave triggers his weapon at...
My cold beam heating up.
The beams cross, which, as you know, should never happen.
So he's got the simultaneous hot and cold happening, forming steam and all sorts of things, and it's being... aimed at his injured leg.
Yes. Phew. The heat-resistant area about my body, this is Flash talking about a super speed aura, is the only thing saving me from a real blistering.
Then again, by sub-zero cold.
Huh?
Those alternate doses of heat and cold.
They're having a shock effect on my sprained ankle, easing the pain.
A little more of this and my ankle will be back in shape.
Who was it that told me? It was the massage therapist when I had injured my neck. She said, I was doing alternating heat and cold. And she said, no.
Not heat after only. The first day.
No, she said never. Heat only. So there you have it. And she's a professional. Flash has got to keep them hitting me with these medicinal temperature treatments. So I'll pretend I'm still injured and walk on my hands.
Ha ha ha! What a sight!
Flash, you just
before you pass out. Tell us whether it's due to my heat or his cold.
This breeze I'm causing while rotating on my hand is forming a buffer between me and that heat and cold, except for my ankle, which needs it most. God, I love this. Love this.
I thought you would hate this since he's using his arms.
It doesn't matter. It's ridiculous, and it's keeping us from having to read about his conflict with telling Iris that he's the Flash.
His ankle cured, the Scarlet Speedster bounds into action, outracing those deadly beams, bringing them along behind him by the sheer suction of his super speed.
They can't move, and they can't even see me. I'm running so fast.
And then the awesome heat beam hits the frosty felon, catching him totally unprepared.
Yeah!
Then, racing ahead of the fired cold blast, the same Flash maneuver, the same outcome, ooh, the cold beam hits Heatwave. In a way, I'm grateful for this double-barreled attack. It safeguarded the secret of my double identity, which I'm struggling with telling Iris, but I'm not going to.
Right. So soon after, Barry Allen makes a delivery at police headquarters.
Yes.
The Flash asked me to turn over these two criminals to you.
Captain Cold and Heatwave. Say, oh, this must be an Irish cop, though. Captain Cold and Heatwave, say, we heard about the Flash hurting his ankle. He's the greatest, all right, capturing these guys only on one leg. That was pretty good for me, for Irish.
Sure, that was pretty good. Yeah, not great,
but I'm getting better.
We'll practice when we go to Dublin.
Yes, yes. Irish people love when you try to talk in an Irish accent in their own country.
I tell you what, I am not scared. I am, and not anxious. I'm, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm intrigued to find out how hard it will be to understand people in Scotland. Now, I know they speak English.
Yes,
and they also
yes,
speak Scottish.
Yes. Right?
But it's not an accent you and I hear very often. You and I love to watch BBC dramas.
Sure.
Mostly what we watch are English and British dramas. Excuse me, English and Irish.
Well, we watched Broadchurch, and it's David Tennant. He's Scottish.
Right. And remember what happened when we were watching Broadchurch?
Well, it's lovely.
What happened when I was watching Broadchurch with you?
We couldn't understand what he was saying. But I did pretty good. There's only one Doctor Who I could never understand.
You were better than I was. I said, can we back that up? And you would say, do you want to turn on the subtitles? I say, no, we can get this. I can get this. I said, just back it up a little bit. Part of it was that of the mumbling. There was a little bit of mumbling.
There's a lot of mumbling.
Yeah. Okay, so later, when Barry arrives home.
Barry!
Oh, you're doing it. Okay, we'll just do her kittenish.
Did you hear about the Flash? He banged up an ankle and has to use crutches.
My dear Mrs. Allen, is that the way to greet your husband? A month to the day after your wedding?
Oh, Barry, darling, happy anniversary.
My identity is still safe, but how long? Only time will tell. Who cares?
Like she didn't remember it was their 1 month anniversary. Come on.
Please. She's been waiting on that all day. You know how wives are.
But look at this.
She was literally sitting there going, if he comes in that door and doesn't say happy 1 month anniversary to me, so help me God.
It is over. I have to point this out. She's not in the kitchen cooking. She's sitting in an easy chair reading the newspaper.
Fully beautifully dressed.
Beautifully dressed, but way to go, Iris.
Yeah.
Hands up for women's lib.
Absolutely. She doesn't have a cocktail waiting for him.
No. Like he can make his own damn cocktail.
Fantastic commercials that we like to read. And they're not commercials. The films that we watch from the 1950s and 60s of The Kitchen of the Future.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman, she's always preparing her the meal for the family, and she puts her cigarette in the special mm-hmm. cigarette holder. And she grabs a martini, takes a sip, and then continues with dinner.
I have to read one letter.
Okay.
Dear editor, Flash 163 was simply beautiful, with only the cover keeping it from being a perfect issue. I'm not sure what was wrong with it, but it might have been the gigantic stop. You remember it was a picture of Flash rushing into the frame saying, stop, if you don't buy this comic, I'll die or something. Mm. But the inside, now that was great. The Flash stakes his life on you. Was one of Flash's best, considering that the last few issues' stories have been above average. That's saying something. The style of writing was quite different than what Broom usually does, and in fact, if the Broom name hadn't been on the splash page, I would have assumed it was Robert Kaniger's handiwork.
Oh, goodness.
Nevertheless, from beginning to end, it was excellent. However, there was one big error.
Oh, here we go.
All Flash had to do to become solid again was become Barry Allen, a person some people know. As Barry, he could have defeated Haddon using vibrations to hide his face as he actually did in the second story. Of course, if he did that, the story would have been 5 pages shorter and many of the novel ideas would have been missing, though Flash might have tried it and failed for some reason so as to get the idea out of the way. The second story, the day the magic exposed Flash's secret identity, was better art-wise, but still as good story-wise. I've always liked Abracadabra and have been waiting for Flash to find out that Abracadabra is not endowed with magic, but just super science. Abracadabra's personality has remained the same. He is egocentrical and a ham at heart. But if you remember, the only reason he began robbing was to get attention, so perhaps he really isn't the vile cad he's made out to be. I enjoyed the Flash Barry Allen scenes and the changing of costumes as it gave a novel twist to your stories. If I'm correct, this is the first time you had Flash dressed in something other than his costume to catch a crook since the years ago reappearance of Winky, Blinky, and Nod. The only thing that really spoiled the issue for me was the statement of ownership. A magazine of Flash's quality deserves more than 298,151 readers. That would break records today. Mm. Now, the letter is nothing. I just read it because of who wrote it. Marvin Wolfman, Flushing, New York. Marv Wolfman, Rob, yes, is a huge figure in comics, a writer. He had a long run on Tomb of Dracula in the 1970s at Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. He, with George Perez, invented the new Teen Titans for DC.
Now, I recognize the name George Perez.
Yes.
Yes.
He wrote...
And I also recognize Teen Titans.
Yes. He wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, my God.
Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Huge. Oh, my God. Huge figure. And here he is writing letters to The Flash in 1966.
Well, what are you reading right now in comics?
I've been reading...
Well, wait, I'm going to introduce a new segment.
Yes.
It's called What Are You Reading Now in Comics? This is a premiere of a segment. What are you reading now in comics?
I just finished rereading Camelot 3000, which I have not read since it originally came out.
Okay.
I've been reading Batman the Dark Age, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I read Batman...
Oh, Jesus, one is enough.
I have many varied interests.
Okay, Dr. Bob.
I read Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77. Mm-hmm. It's also fantastic because there's action figures coming out. I had to read about that. Mm-hmm. I just started rereading The Avengers Defenders War because I'm to be a guest on another podcast to discuss mm-hmm. that. And I've been popping in some issues of DC Comics Presents. And yeah, that's it. Defenders. I'm rereading Defenders.
Well, I'm reading Alan Scott Green Lantern 2024.
Yes.
Issue 2 of 6.
Yes.
I am also making my way through Doctor Strange. Oh, gosh. It's hard to tell where I left off because I just keep on going back and reading them over and
over. The one where he's in space.
Oh, it's the best. Yes. And, yeah, I guess I have read them. No, I'm on issue. What issue am I on right now? Hold on a second. Hold the wire. This would be Doctor Strange, Marvel 17, Mark Waid, Barry Kitson, Scott Koblish?
I don't know.
And Brian Reber.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I just knocked over my digital device. And a friend lent me a Kingdom Come, which I am reading
again. Who's this friend? Because I have that. I could have given it to you.
A new coworker, friend of mine, who yes. I found out might be crazier about Green Lantern than I am.
Well, not possible, but go on.
And we both have a love of comics. He has a deeper knowledge of comics than I do, but also did not spend his whole life reading comics. And Green Lantern was his, if you will, gateway drug.
Really?
Yes, like me. And so he said, well, do you remember The Kingdom Come? And I'm like, oh my God, yes. He goes, I have it. Do you want to borrow it? And I said, oh my, no. We were just talking about it. And then he surprised me at work the next day with an issue. He said, here, you can borrow this.
God love him.
Yeah.
You haven't told him about the podcast because you don't want work mixed with pleasure.
I think I might have told him about the podcast, but I said, warning, if you like it, I don't want you telling people at work about this because I never talk about work on my podcast. And if I do, it's all in code. And I do not behave, or rather, I do not speak in a way that represents my professional occupation.
Yeah, me neither.
I wouldn't want people to think that that's how I do my job, which is completely
right. Perfect. Sure. This is an act, so to speak.
It really is. It's an act, but this is foppery and fun, and this is purely for enjoyment.
And we're here every week, new listener.
Absolutely.
So just hang on and stay tuned.
Yes.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can find us right back here next week. I can't remember what's next week, but it'll be something fun. Yes, Dr. Husband, you have a question?
About our sister podcast.
Oh, yes. We have a new podcast, Nerd Orchestra. I'm just about to drop the second episode, which mm-hmm. will be exploring the soundtrack of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And
I am really enjoying this.
You got podcast. Very involved in that second episode. I played piano and everything.
Yes, all poorly. I was just like goofing around. But yeah,
Okay, yeah. Well, that's all for this time.
Yes.
I guess I better make dinner. It's 8:33.
And I've got shirts to press, don't I?
Do you?
Oh, yes. While you're making dinner, I'm going to press those shirts that have been sitting up there longer for a week.
Favorite pastime.
Yes. So what do we say when we end the podcast?
Bye.